Good morning, everyone. Isn't it a beautiful day? Good old Wade. Good old Wade. Mm-hmm. Asking me to come up here and give my testimony. And I said yes. My name is Teresa, and I am a grateful believer in Jesus Christ. And yes, Wade asked me to come up here and give my testimony. And time doesn't allow me to tell you everything, but I will share this. Hold on to your seats, okay? God has allowed me to be a part of two ministries: Celebrate Recovery and the worship team. To start with, God placed me in the worship ministry. Praise and worship has always been my heart. But coming out of the little box I was in created a slight problem. You see, in the beginning of my worship team experience, as I stood here on stage, you could actually see the box I stood in. There was no movement, no smile, no nothing. And a lot of you remember the bondage that I was in. Then one Sunday morning, right before first service, the Holy Spirit started to do a work. The countdown started, and the band started getting in place. When Lynette and I went to get our mics, the cords were a tangled mess. I mean, they were a mess. And this was before we were blessed with cordless mics. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I think they were about four mics, and we started to separate the cords. One by one, each cord was taken from the tangled mess. Keep in mind that these cords were not tangled up like this during sound check. When it came to the fourth mic, the fourth cord, the instance, all the cords were set free. Deep within my spirit and out of my mouth came four words. When the fourth word was spoken, that was when the fourth mic was totally and instantly set free. Those words that were spoken were, "Woman, thou art loosed." At that time, I didn't think those four words were meant for me. I was so wrong. As we began to sing, those four walls to the box I stood in started to fall. I started to sway to the left. Then I started to sway to the right. Then my left hand went up to praises to God. Then my right hand went up. And as you can see, first sway was the first wall. The second sway was the second wall. The first hand that lifted was the third wall. And the fourth hand, the second hand was the fourth wall. This was the beginning of the deliverance from bondage and the freedom to be who God created me to be. The song that we were singing happened to be, "Blessed Be Your Name." Being a follower of Jesus Christ has given me a sense of belonging. He has showed me through His many children here at Integrity what it means to be part of a genuine family, one that truly loves me for who I am instead of pointing out my faults. God has placed in my life other believers that enable me to be all that I am for the sake of Christ. That's something I have never experienced before anywhere else. Through many of you, I see Jesus with his arms open, saying, "My child, I love you so much." And to me, that means I'm finally home. God is so, so sovereign. And thank you for letting me share.
You hear me? Right? Thank you, Wade. I had to pay him to do that. And Wade Kimball got me to come up here this morning to try to preach a little bit. Is that okay? Is that okay with y'all? It's been a long time. Cell phone. I like cell phones. That's the young people. We like to talk to people that call into the youth ministry. This morning, what we're going to do is we've got communion today, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring you a message on communion. But at the very end, what I want you to do is, and I'll touch on this again, is I want you to take a good look at yourselves. And I want you to ask yourselves this question, because all during the message, I want you to be thinking about that. Is that okay? Go like that. Go like that. All right. I want you to examine your life and ask yourself this: am I where God wants me to be in my walk? Got two questions. Have we forgotten, or do we just take this stuff for granted? And you're probably, because you're looking at me right now like a mule looking at a new gate, you're saying, "Dude, what are you talking about?" And that's what I'm talking about. Have we forgotten? Or do we just take what Christ has done for us, do we just take it for granted? Maybe because of the fact that we weren't there some 2,000 years ago to actually physically see this take place. That we didn't physically see Christ hanging on the cross. A lot of people take this for granted. Because what we've been doing for 2,000 years now is we have been basing what we believe on word of mouth, right? Isn't that true? Come on. Go like that. Because it's through this that was actually through word of mouth that it was being penned. And it's been passed down for some 2,000 years, and we don't know whether or not if some of it's true or some of it's not true. As you know, I'm the chaplain for the football team at Graham. And in one of my pregame talks this year, because you got to be careful what you say. But for some reason this year, I just didn't care. I just said, this year, we're going to have at it. So this year, one of the pregame talks, we talked about this. We talked about it is a historical fact, guys, that there was a Jesus of Nazareth. History tells this. It is a historical fact that this same Jesus of Nazareth claimed to be the Son of God. That this Jesus of Nazareth was crucified on a cross. Guys, it is historical fact. It can't be disproved. So with that, and with what this says, I kind of believe it. And it goes a little bit further than that. Because one day, I was 9 years old. One day I gave my life to Christ. And He changed me. He changed me. Just like the young lady over here. Yeah, for a lot of years I didn't live it. Because I took it for granted. But then He got a hold of me again one day. Driving down the road. Couldn't hardly see. So tired. And He spoke to me. And I answered His call. I believe that we show people how we live and how our attitudes are. We show people what Christ is to us. Am I wrong? All right, stand up. Turn to the person to the left of you, grab their shoulders, and... All right, now turn to the right, grab the person on the right, and go... Now tell them this. I'm going to start being alive this morning in church. You know, what we like to do is we like to follow the example of other people, right? We like to watch how other people live their lives. And we say, you know what? I'm going to base my life. I'm going to base the pattern of my walk. I'm going to base it after that person. Guys, let me tell you something. We're going to fail you. Now, I'm going to tell you something that's just going to really just shock some of you. Just, we got any nurses in there? Any first responders? All right, get ready. Get ready. Guys, I'm no saint. I was actually waiting for that to come from my wife, but that comes from somebody else. I'm the type of person that if I feel like I've been wronged, guys, I can get very stubborn. I can get very stubborn in the things I do or the things that I say and the way that I act. Matter of fact, Sherry will even tell you that if people tell me I'm supposed to look a certain way, that the rebel comes out in me. Yeah. Even my brother said it yesterday. We had the opportunity, Sherry and I, yesterday at the Carolina Duke football game. Somebody had given us tickets and a parking pass, and we got for the Pope box. Now, this is the box that's right above the Chancellor, and this is where all the money comes into the UNC Chapel Hill system. I mean, we're talking money people. Well, I got shorts on. And we're sitting out where we were parking because it's right through the soccer field to the football stadium. We're sitting over there and my brother comes driving up. I guess he didn't believe that I got this parking pass because he comes circling around. No, he was going to check out the soccer game. And I got out of the car to go speak to him and he starts laughing. He said, dude, you're not going to fit in. And I said, well, the bad part about it is the guy that gave us the ticket, he knows how I dress. So it might be okay. He said, nah, you'll be okay. I'm just messing with you. Dude, let me tell you something. Sherry and I, we go through the gate, walk up to the elevator because we had to ride an elevator. That's high-class stuff, man. We're riding the elevator, and the guy running the elevator looks at me. He goes, shorts. I'm thinking, uh-oh. Maybe what he said was true. And he says, we just don't see very many shorts coming up into this box. Well, I say, well, guess what? It's always a first time for everything. That's the rebel in me. The only time I don't wear shorts is if I speak in here on Sunday morning. And that's a Bud thing. But then they told me Bud's not here today. I could have got away with it. Because y'all wouldn't have told on me, would you? No. But I do. I rebel at times. But guys, I wish, I really wish that in my life I could live a life as Paul lived his life. Because Paul, with all the confidence in the world of his walk in Jesus Christ, he told the Philippian believers, he says, look, you can follow my example. You can do what I do. That's how much confidence he had in God. And that's how he lived his life. Let me ask you this. How many of us can say the same thing? How many of us in here can say to other people, you can follow my example and my walk with Jesus Christ? I'm getting a whole lot of, now you're meddling, Steve. But isn't it true? Are we just taking some of this for granted? Because God himself has actually given us a pattern in which way we should live our life. He says, I've given it to you through the word. And he says, here is the example. You got your Bibles with you? Let me get your Bibles with you. Turn to Romans. You know what Romans is? It's in the New Testament. Somewhere. It's after the book of Acts. The four Gospels and then Acts. And then Romans. Romans 12, 1. You want to know the pattern that God wants us to live our lives after? Romans 12, 1. I didn't bring my glasses. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that he has done. Does it say Steve has done? Or does it have any of y'all's name in there? It says because all of he has done, right? Come on. It's there. Trust me. How many of you see that it's there? Okay, good. Confirmation there. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice. You see, God wants us to pattern or follow the example. He says, look, I want you to be a living sacrifice. He doesn't say anything about dead. He doesn't say anything about being passive. He says, I want you to be a living, breathing sacrifice. You know what that tells me? He's saying, Steve, it's not about you. It's not about me, guys. Life is not about Steve. And I'm going to tell you something that's going to really bust some of your bubbles. Life is not about you either. Right? Life is about God and the kingdom of God. Whoa. That's God saying that. That's right. It's not about me. God says this. This is what I want you to do is I want you to live a holy life. Does anybody know what holy means? Set apart. Anybody else? Consecrated, set apart, free from sin. And you're probably thinking, dude, that can't be done. Yes, it can. If it couldn't be done, Paul would have never wrote it. But you see what we do? We do this. We choose on how we live our life. We choose in the direction that we go, in the path that we take. God says this, I want you to present yourselves holy, and the next word is this, pleasing to Him, acceptable to Him. That's how we please God, is that we present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy to Him. Now, how many of us are living lives that way? How many of us can honestly say, I'm living my life because I choose not to do some of the things that the world wants me to do? Or I choose not to do some of the things that the people that I hang around want me to do. I choose a life that God has set before me, and I want to live that life the best way I know how. I think a lot of times we choose to do the things we do because we think it's fun, right? Now, didn't y'all, whenever y'all was in your heyday, do it because you thought it was fun? Right? Look. The Bible says that. The Bible says that there is pleasure in sin. Y'all realize that? That there is pleasure in sin. But it does say this, that it's only for a short time. Because guess what? It's going to catch up to you. Eventually, somewhere down the road, it's going to catch up to how we are living our life. Again, if we couldn't live this life, then why did Paul pen this in the books that he wrote? Other than that, why did God inspire what was written? If it couldn't be done, why did God inspire it? He tells us that it can. I think he didn't take this life for granted, because one day it dawned on him how much God loved him and how much God was willing to allow His Son to go through just for Paul. You see, guys, that's how we got to make it in our lives. You know, I have to say this when I share my testimony, that God did what He did for Steve. If I would have been the only person on this earth, He would have still went through the agony, the pain, and the suffering on the cross for Steve. Because God tells me this. He says, you got to make it personal. Because it is a personal relationship that you're having with the person of Jesus Christ. And we got to look at it that way. Because if you don't take it personal, you take it for granted. In a few minutes, we're going to take communion. But I'm going to share with you some instruction. Not what Steve says. This again is what is God inspired. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 11. If you are not a Christian here this morning, all right? If you're an unbeliever here this morning, if there's never been a time in your life this morning that you've ever asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, this is not for you. Communion is not for you. Matter of fact, if you are living life contrary to the way God says that you should be living life, this is not for you either. But what God does tell us here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 11, he says, examine yourselves. Paul penned, he says, look, you need to examine yourselves to make sure that you're worthy to partake of the Lord's Supper. 2 weeks ago, I was in the first part of my message to the student church on the fruits of the Spirit. In the first part of that message, I actually dwelt more on the things that were contrary to the fruits than I were the fruits themselves. And this is what I did. I asked the students, I said, look, what do you see best suits your life right now? How are you living your life right now? Take a good look at yourself. And we entered the service, and then we started our little art show. And about halfway through the art show, I had a young lady come up to me. And she said, Steve, I need to talk to you. And I want to talk to you about salvation. So I got one of our female leaders with me, and we began to talk to this young lady. Guys, let me tell you something. 2 weeks ago, Sunday afternoon, the kingdom of God was added to. Why? Because a young lady was willing to examine herself. So if a young lady was willing to examine herself, don't you think we as adults can examine ourselves also? Last week, we had about 5 or 6 students to raise their hand saying, Steve, I want you to pray for me. That when I, in my daily walk, the fruits of the Spirit are evident in my life. That people can see the fruits of the Spirit in my life. Now, how did they do this? They took a good look at themselves. They wanted to make it evident in their life. I am kind of old-fashioned in ways, because I truly believe this. As Isaiah 55:11 kind of states, that if the Word of God is put out there, then it's not going to come back void. That God is going to bless that Word. And we're going to see lives changed because of that Word. I had a man come up to me one service after he gave his life to Christ. He said, Steve, I want to thank you for saving me. I didn't save nobody. It's only through Jesus Christ that you're saved. But God tells me this, as long as I proclaim the Word, He's going to bless that Word. And that's all I've ever wanted to do in teaching, was to teach what God has said in His Word. Because if it's about Steve, we're going to fail. But if it's about God, He's going to prosper it. He's going to bless it. He's going to make things happen. And that's what it's all about, guys. This morning, what we're going to do is all this area right down here is going to become an altar. This is going to become an altar. If you're unsaved here this morning, and I truly believe this, that there's somebody in here right now that God is speaking to your heart. I feel it. And the Holy Spirit is asking you, make Jesus your Lord and Savior. You know, I'm the type of person that I could care less what anybody thinks about me. If I got to go, I got to go. And if the Spirit of God moves upon me, I got to go. Don't worry about what the person next to you is thinking, because they're not going to stand with you in front of God one day. It's just going to be you and Him. So I'm going to ask you today, if the Spirit of God is speaking to you, give Him your life today. Because we're not guaranteed tomorrow. Maybe you're a Christian in here this morning, and you are living life not in the way that God would really want you to live. Maybe you need just to make things right with God. Maybe what you ought to just say, God, dude, if it ain't about Steve, then it ain't about me. It's got to be about you. I'm going to ask you to come and make things right. Guys, this altar is for everyone. And as you have a clean heart and you got a clear conscience about your walk with God, then we'll ask you to go to the communion stations. This is what Jesus said. And for those, if you want to give your life to Christ, Wade's going to be down here. And all Wade's going to do is pray with you. Just pray with you. So would you give Him your life today? Jesus took the bread and when He held the bread up in His hands, He told the disciples, He says, "This is my body." And then He took the cup and He held the cup up and He says, "I want you to drink, because this is my blood." And as they began to pass the bread and the cup, this is what Jesus said. "Do this to remember me." Guys, have we forgotten? Or are we just taking life for granted? God is speaking to some of you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Can you, in all honesty, that somebody that God is speaking to, say, "Steve, I need to get saved today. I need to make Jesus my Lord and Savior today." Nobody looking around. I'm going to ask you, would you slip up your hand? God sees that hand. Is there anybody else? God sees that hand. Is there anybody else? You can put them down. I'm going to ask you this. If you just raised your hand, would you look up here at me? Are you serious? Is this something that you really want? I'm going to ask you, would you come down here with Wade? He's right down here at the front. Don't be ashamed. Don't worry about what the person next to you or the people around are thinking or what. Just come down and speak with Wade. Wade's going to pray with you. Are there any of you here that are saying this morning, "Steve, I'm not living life the way I need to live it. I need to make things right"? Would you raise your hand? God sees those hands. I'm going to ask you this. And this is our invitation for communion. And when you take of communion, all I'm going to ask you to do is, after you come down and pray, make things right with God, And if we got any elders that can come down and pray with them, that'd be great. Then I'm going to ask you to go to the communion stations there in the back. And after you partake of the Lord's Supper, just come back and sit down in your seats quietly. So now, if you raised your hand, would you move? Now. And as you sit in your seats, you feel free, if that heart's clean and clear, to go ahead and partake of the communion stations in the back. Thank you.
Church, why don't we stand and just sing Amazing Grace out to God, just thinking about His grace, His mercy.
Yeah, it's me. Now, Wade asked me to do a little bit of preaching this morning. Is that okay? No, Wade didn't ask. Bud did. If you've noticed around the back of the sanctuary, we got communion stations. What we're going to do this morning is we're going to do communion. And we're going to actually do a message on communion. So I hope that's okay with you. Got a couple of questions for you. Have you forgotten? Or do you just take it for granted? Now, some of you are looking at me like a mule looking at a new gate, because you ain't got a clue. This is what I'm wanting to know, if you've forgotten or taken for granted. You got the picture? Yeah, that right there. Have we forgotten this? Or do we take it for granted because we weren't physically there to visualize the agony and the pain and the suffering that Jesus went through for each one of us? And I think a lot of times we do, because we weren't there. So what we do is we have to go by what has been passed down for some 2,000 years, and what's been passed down is by word of mouth, right? Right? Don't make me do what I had to do the first service. But that's what we've done, and that's basically what the Bible is. The Bible is words that have been penned, that has been passed down for some 2,000 years. During this year's football season, most of you know I'm the chaplain for Graham's football team. And in one of our pregame talks that I do for the team, I got to the point this year where I didn't care what I said. I just wanted them to know about Jesus. Because a lot of times when you work with the schools, and if there's any teachers out there, you know, you got to really watch what you say, because of this church and state thing. So I got to the point this year, no, we're just going to have at it this year. And God blessed that. But I told them this in one of our pregame talks, that it is a historical fact of the person Jesus of Nazareth. It's history. It is a historical fact that this same Jesus of Nazareth claimed to be the Son of God. It is a historical fact that this same Jesus of Nazareth was crucified on a cross. So with it being historical fact, guess what? Then I can believe this is true. Not only can I believe it's true because it's written, I believe it's true because of what took place right here. You see, back in 1969, when I was 9 years old, no knee-high to a grasshopper, I decided that when the Holy Spirit tugged at my heart, I was going to give my life to Jesus Christ. And that's what I did. At age 9, now, I've stumbled along the way. I've fallen. But you know what? God has always been there. I believe that we show a lot in our lives that we take it for granted. Just by the way we live. Just in the attitudes that we have towards certain things. Do we show that Christ-like attitude that we're supposed to have? Or do we go around and pout and gripe and complain? Now, I'm going to tell you something that's going to shock some of you. And in the first service, we were fortunate. We didn't have to call EMT. But do we have any nurses or first responders in there? All right, we got a couple. We got just be ready. I'm no saint. Man, I didn't say that for you to laugh at me. I'm no saint. I make mistakes. Matter of fact, I'm the type of person that if I feel like somebody has wronged me, dude, I get very stubborn. I get very stubborn. Matter of fact, if I'm supposed to wear certain things or be the norm, Sherry will tell you, that boy gets rebellious. Yesterday, we were fortunate enough. We were going to the Duke Carolina football game. Go Heels. Okay. But what had happened was we had somebody that had given us some tickets. So what I did was, because where we were sitting, I gave my tickets away, and we decided to take these tickets. Now, these tickets were up in the Pope box. Now, this is where your high-dollar people go and sit. I mean, you're talking about people that give hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars to a university. Well, my brother, not only did they give us the tickets, they gave us the parking pass at Navy Field. So we're sitting at Navy Field, kind of glancing through the fits at the soccer game, and my brother comes up. I guess he wanted to really see if we were parking where we said we was going to park. But I got out of the car to see him, and he started laughing at me. He said, "Steve, you're not going to fit in." I said, "Why?" He said, "Dude, you got shorts on. Them people up there don't wear shorts." I said, "I don't care. I do." And he told me that after the service, he said, "Now, you didn't tell him the whole story." He said, "You got to tell him that you had on a white T-shirt and a Carolina blue button-up shirt that was unbuttoned." I said, "So, Sherry told me to wear that." Because I'd have wore a T-shirt. And the funny thing was, is we get in there and we got to ride an elevator. That was the cool thing. We got to ride the elevator up. And when I walk up to the elevator guy, he goes like this. He goes, "Shorts." "Yeah, cool." And it was so funny, because once those people up there kind of warmed up to us, you know, we had a blast. I mean, it was up there high-fiving and all this stuff. And we didn't get to high-five much until the end of the ball game, but, you know, that's another point. But I wish I could say to you, as Paul said to the Philippians, I wish I could say, guys, that I live my life so much for Jesus Christ that you could follow my example. But guys, I stumble. But Paul had so much confidence in his walk with Christ, he told the Philippians, he says, "Yes, you can follow my lead." Why? Because I do not believe that Paul took any of this for granted. You see, that right there, that meant something to Paul. Because that man right there changed his life. And that's the same man that back in 1969, guys, changed my life. And Paul says, "What I'm going to do is I'm going to sell completely out to him." And that's what he did. You see, Paul considered himself to be the chiefest of sinners. So he said, "You know, I was given 100% the other way. I need to give 100% for God now." Now, not only does Paul have the confidence and the courage to tell us, "Yeah, you can live your life after mine," but God says this, "I'm going to set the example for you." And I'm going to show you the example. I'm going to tell you in the Word of God the example in which you should live your life. How many of you got a Bible with you? Turn to the book of Romans. Because I don't want you saying Steve is making up stuff. Turn to the book of Romans. Turn to chapter 12. We're going to look at verse 1. I guess I better do that too, huh? It's there. Sherry felt sorry for me in the first service, so she went out and got my glasses because I had to stand back a country mile to see it. There we go. Chapter 12, verse 1, it says this, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you that you give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living." And basically what it says there is God is saying, I want you to become a living sacrifice for him. Doesn't say anything about being dead. Doesn't say anything about being mediocre. It says become a living sacrifice for him. But look, guys, it doesn't just stop there. Because it goes on and says, and be holy. Do you know what holy means? Anybody know what holy means? To be set apart. To be consecrated. To be free from sin. Now you're probably sitting there thinking, there's no way. There's no way that I can live a life free from sin. I believe we can. And how do I believe that? Because if it couldn't be done, then why did Paul write about it? If we couldn't live a holy life, why did Paul pen it? And one more, because you're looking at me kind of crazy now. Why did God inspire it? You see, we believe this to be the inspired Word of God, right? Right? Come on. So if God inspired this, don't you think that he tells us to strive to live this life? Matter of fact, guys, Christian means to be Christ-like. And do you realize that Christ chose not to sin? Really? You remember the temptations that he went through? And the devil, he tried to get Jesus to do this, that, and that. And what did Jesus say? Ain't gonna do it. And he went to the Word of God. And he began to quote the Word of God. So guys, we can live this type of life. But what you got to do is you got to choose to do it. That means that when people at work want to do certain things, you choose to say no or yes. If somebody around you wants to gossip, you know what? You choose on whether or not you're going to sit in and participate. And a lot of people look and say, dude, you're meddling now. And a lot of things that we do, guys, we choose to do. And we don't really realize that we're not pleasing God. Because in the latter part of the verse it says, and be acceptable to God. You see, this is what is acceptable to God. That we present ourselves a living and holy sacrifice. A living and holy sacrifice. You know what I get out of that verse too? Is this. Steve, it ain't about you. And it's not about me. Guess what? It ain't about you either. Now I guess I made a couple of you mad. that's okay. Because you know what it is about? It's about God and the kingdom of God. That is what it's all about, guys. It's Him. I think we choose to do what we do because we think it's fun. Right? Right? And you know what the Bible does say? That there is pleasure in sin. But He says that this pleasure is only for a short time. And guys, realize this. That there are consequences. Everybody say consequences. There are consequences to the things that we choose to do. Some of us might not like that, but that's the way it is. How could Paul live this life in so much confidence? Because this right here and the cross, Paul took personally. You see, Paul believed that Jesus Christ died for him. And in my life, when I gave my life to Christ, I didn't have mom and daddy to go down to the altar with me. But I said, you know what? I believe that this same Jesus died for me too. Look, guys, I'm sorry, but we're going to fail you. But He never will. At times, we don't intend to do wrong, but we do it. But He never does. And that's who we put our trust in. Because that's the one who saves us. I had somebody tell me one time, they said, "Dude, I'm glad you saved me." Not me, I didn't save nobody. It was Jesus Christ that done the saving. It was Him and Him alone. In a few minutes, what we're going to do is we're going to do communion. But I'm going to give you some quick instruction about communion. All right? Number one, if you're not a Christian, this is not for you. You shouldn't participate in communion. Because in communion, we're remembering Christ and what He's done for our lives. Number two, if you are a Christian and you are living life the way you want to live it and not the way that God wants you to live it, this is not for you either. So if you're not a Christian, or if you are a Christian and you're living the wrong path, then communion today is not for you. Paul tells us this. He says, what you need to do, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he says, this is what you need to do. You need to examine yourself. You need to examine yourself to see whether or not you are worthy of partaking of the Lord's Supper. Guys, that's not Steve's words. That is Bible. A couple weeks ago in the student ministry, I was speaking on the fruits of the Spirit. And the first part of this, I did it in two different weeks. The first part was actually the things that were contrary to the fruits of the Spirit. And I asked the young people, I said, look, take a good look at yourself. What is more evident in your life? The things that are contrary to the Spirit or the fruits of the Spirit? And we closed our service, and the young people, some of them had an art show. Well, halfway during the art show, I had a young lady come up to me, and she said, Steve, I want to talk to you more about this salvation. Now, we're an hour out of the service. And she says, I want to talk to you about this salvation. So I got one of our female leaders to come over there with me, and we sat down with this young lady. And guess what happened that afternoon, guys? Sunday afternoon, the kingdom of God was added to that day. Why? Because we had a young lady that examined herself. So if she can do it, why can't you? You see, I'm... At times, about certain things when it comes to the Bible, I'm old-fashioned. You know, I just believe it. Okay? And this is what the Bible tells me. That if the Word of God is put out there, and I think this is Isaiah chapter 55. If the Word of God is put out there, it's not going to come back void. God is going to bless that word that goes forth. And God's going to honor that word that goes out. And God's going to show you things that are just miracles if you put that word out. Last Sunday, we had 5 or 6 students right up the walkway that did this. I don't like what I see. I don't like what I see. And they said, Steve, will you pray for me? That I began to walk my life with the evidence of the Spirit of God in me. Guys, these are young people that are doing this. Why can't we? Why can't we take a good look at ourselves? This morning, what we're going to do right here is we're going to turn this into an old-fashioned altar. Is that okay? Is that okay? Look, if you're unsaved this morning, and I'll tell you, and I did this in the first service, and this is no joke because I really feel this. I believe there's somebody in here that the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to right now. And the Spirit of God is telling you, you need to give your life to Christ. Also, I believe the Spirit of God is speaking to some of us in here about the way we live our life. You remember, Paul says, examine yourself to make yourself worthy of taking the Lord's Supper. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to open up the altar and we're going to pray. Wade is going to come down here at the front and Wade's going to be here with anybody. If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your Savior, Wade's going to pray with you. Because I want you to participate in what Christ says is so meaningful to us. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here this morning, and you're feeling that tugging at your heart. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. All I want you to do is raise your hand. If God is tugging at your heart saying, you know what, you need to give your life to Christ this morning. Is there anybody that would raise their hand? Anybody? How about this morning if you were sitting there and you're thinking, you know, I'm not living life the way that God has intended me to live it. And I need to make some things straight. I need to make some things right in my life because I need to begin living for Him, completely sold out. As Paul said he was going to live, he lived his life. Would you raise your hand? I want to completely sell out. God sees them hands. You can put them down. This is what Paul said. And Corinthians, this is what Jesus said when he was talking to his disciples. Paul gave us the example. But Jesus took the bread and he held it up and he showed the bread and he told the disciples, he said, look, this is my body, which is given for you. And then he took the cup and he lifted up the cup and he told the disciples, he says, this is my blood, which is shed for you. And he ended his night with the disciples at that table with this. He says, what I want you to do is I want you to do all this to remember me. So you think that maybe Jesus thought that some 2,000 years down the road, we might do some forgetting? If you raised your hand a while ago, I want you to look up at me. If you raised your hand, I don't want you to be ashamed. Don't worry about the person next to you. Don't worry about anybody in here. This is between you and God. If you raised your hand, I want to ask you this. Are you serious? Do you want this life in Christ? Are you serious? This is what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to come up. We're going to have some elders that will come up and just pray with you. If you don't mind, they're going to come up and pray with you. And I want you just to make things right. Because right now you're telling me, yes, I've examined my life. And there's some changes that need to be made. So I'm going to ask you, if you would, step on out now. Those of you, if your heart's clear, you'd search yourself. Then you go to the stations and you partake of the Lord's Supper. But if God is speaking to you, I want you to come and I want you to lay it all at the altar. You move now. People that are sitting here in your seats, you take a good look at yourself. And when you're clear, when your conscience is clear and your heart is clean, then you go partake.